been singing all the way around. That's just a blessing from on high, and we bless the Lord for how good He's been and what He's done, what He's doing. You'll forgive me for being a little sluggish. I've been up since 2 waiting to turn my clock back. Well, move it forward, that is. And so I've lost a whole hour. You know, if I was the enemy of a country, that's when I would attack, is the day after that they had to move their clock forward or backwards, either one, and the time change. And so anyhow, but I'm glad that we're not under attack, except from the devil that's without and one that's trying to work within. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We'll be looking there in the book of Galatians, chapter number 1, in Galatians chapter 1. I know and I realize and know that you're tired as well, and it takes about 3 weeks to get over it, but we couldn't shut it out for 3 weeks. We decided to go ahead and just do the best that we possibly can. Galatians chapter 1, find the place if you're able to stand. Look in verse 1. In verse number 1. Paul, an apostle, notice if you will, not of men, neither by man. That's an important thing. But by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me into the churches, plural, of Galatia. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. That sounds a little negative, doesn't it? As you look into the Bible, you know, you'll never find when God mentions the world anything about it being new and about being wonderful and about it being pleasant and about, you'll never find any of that. He's talking about it being evil, this present evil world. He gave himself that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, bless your word to every heart. We do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. We pray you'd bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. We thank you for the good songs of Zion that we've enjoyed together. Now bless, I pray, every family represented here, be with those that could not be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on him that calleth you into the grace of God. In this verse that we're looking at in verse number 6 that we did not read, we'll use that for our text verse. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that you have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said, therefore, before, as we said before, and so I say now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you that ye have received, than that you have received, let him be accursed. I want to say that when we begin to look into him, I want to preach on him that calleth you. You're sitting here this morning, you were born to sin without hope, without God. Just like me, you were born to hell bent and hell bound, and it took the grace of God to be able to impart life and to draw you and to call you into the family of God. And you know what's wrong with the average Baptist that's religious but lost without God? They depended upon somebody somewhere else to call them in. I guarantee you right now, I'm as anxious about my children and grandchildren getting in and your children and your grandchildren getting in, but me going ahead and trying to hurry up the work of God and making them twofold more the child of hell ain't the way to do it. I'll tell you, if they get in, they get born again, it'll change your heart, it'll change your life, it'll change your thinking, it'll change your look, it'll change who they are, what they are, where they go, what they're doing. I got to tell you something, is that when Christ calls you into the family, it'll make a radical difference in your life. I want to say to you that, if you will, that Galatia is not particularly a church individually. It's a province, and it's a Roman province, and it's contained in many churches. That's why that we've read that in the passages there in verse number 2, unto the churches of Galatia. Now, did you ever notice the reason why God will say that? Whatever's good for one church is good for another. Do you realize whatever's bad or wrong for one church is wrong and bad for the other? Isn't that something, how that the word of the Lord, you know, we live in a day and an hour when people are saying, well, you know, in the part of the country where you live, hey, what God says in one part of the country is good all the way around the world. I used to, you know, whenever I was growing up, you'd hear a lot of people, you know, make a statement, well, you know, that's in the old Bible. If they didn't want something in the old Bible, they'd just go ahead and make it, well, you know, that's in the old Bible. Do you realize, though, that the Bible is 66 books and it's made up, what is that, 39, 27, Old Testament, New? Did you realize and do you know that when you open the blessed word of the Lord, you're opening up the Old Testament and the New Testament? Those are the two lips by which God speaks to you and I. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out whatever God says to one church, one place, He says to all. Now, I want to say to you, when you begin to look into it, you'll find that He's trying to assure them that salvation is the same way all the way around the world. And that is by grace through faith, plus nothing and minus nothing in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let me tell you what it is. Salvation is eternal life that's been imparted to man by the grace of God. Salvation is everlasting life that's been imparted to man by the grace of God when He called us into the family of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something, is that I'm glad to know that when God calls and God moves, is that it'll be by His grace that He does it. Nobody's going to be able to pat yourself on the back and talk about how you made him. Let me say, number one is we've been called into the grace of God, been called there by Him. He says, from Him that called you into the grace of God, that's the Lord Jesus Christ that called you in. It's not by gains, it's not by gimmicks, but it's by the grace of God. I'll tell you something, that's the reason why that He says, I marvel that you are, I have so removed and go to another gospel, which is not another. You know why He said that? For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. See, I think the reason why God puts so many of those terms like that in the Bible is because there's some people, well, you know, that's for the Jew. Yeah, first and also to the Greek. Make no mistake about it that our Lord and our Savior doesn't miss a lick. It's by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ that God calls us by His grace into the family. In this lesson that's here, you'll find that in verse number one that we've already read, did you notice that He said, neither by man. Neither by man's always trying to come up with some kind of a snazzy, slick way to help God out. Well, you're not going to do it. Preach the word. That's the command that God's given us. And let me tell you, unto Him be glory in the church and world without end. Now, I got to say to you that when you begin to look into it, every time you look at whatever man's tried to help God do, he perverts it. You know what the word pervert and perversion, you know what perversion is? It's when you take God's way of something and make man's way of something out of it. And there's a lot of that goes on. In this day and hour that we're living in, let me tell you, sir, what about the prayer altar? Remember over there in the book of Exodus, don't turn there, but in chapter number 20, in about verse number 25, over in the book of Exodus, He talked about building an altar. And He said, whenever you build it, if you build it out of stones, don't you raise a tool up on it. You try to cut off an ear, make it fancy looking, this and that. And you build it out of stone, don't you raise up any kind of tool on it, lest you pollute it. Whatever man does, he tries to help God with, he pollutes it. I'll tell you something, is that you'll find that over there in the book of Isaiah, and you ain't got to turn there either. But in chapter number 5 and about verse number 19, man is ever doing what he can to try to hurry up and hasten the work of the Lord that he may see it. I know some preachers across the country, they're not here, so don't everybody go to, you know, look at Brother Darrell, it's not him. But I know some that I've had in days gone by in other churches. And you know the biggest thing they had in their own church that they worried them? It worried them because they didn't see anybody coming down the aisle getting saved, getting in the baptistry. Some of them finally learned, you know, and either from another junkie or one of their buddies or friends. And one guy, I was at a church, and he said, man, our baptistry stays full all the time. I said, really? He said, we baptize nearly every service. I said, really? And he said, yeah. I said, well, my word, that's great. That's just great. I said, why are you in such a hurry? He said, because I've learned that when they come down the aisle and make a profession, you may not see them again. Now, how stupid can that man be? No need me trying to explain that to him about the grace of God. No need me trying to show him what God does, he does forever. No need me trying to show him that that's by the influence of man that you're dealing with. Because let me tell you, if God saves somebody and snatches them as a brand from the burning, did you ever notice in all the years that we've been here, and I guess what, it's coming up on 28 years been here in this church here. Did you ever notice is that not only do I not spend time trying to get them in, I try to spend time preaching the gospel and getting people that will, but I don't spend time trying to get them to bow your head, repeat a prayer, come down the aisle, get in the baptistry, show that we can chalk another one up for ourselves and all that right there. And did you ever notice is that I don't spend a whole lot of time trying to keep them in? Listen, God ever saves you and puts you in, you're in. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? God ever moves you down the road, he'll move you in somebody of like faith, and he'll put you in there. Let me tell you, is that the word of God and the way of God's always the same, and it's in the sanctuary, it's in the house of God. The way of God's in the sanctuary. In this lesson it's here, you'll find that people are always trying to hurry up the work of God. Over there in the book of Isaiah, don't turn there either, but in chapter number 55, verse number 11, he says and tells him that my word shall not return void. It'll accomplish that which I please. Wheresoever that goeth, it'll accomplish that which I please. Make no mistake about it. If you preach the word of the Lord, it's not a wasted effort. You may never see anything visibly with your own eyeballs that you can apply to it. But let me tell you right now is that whenever you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and the word of God of how to do right and do and what's wrong and what's right in the sight of God, when you're standing on the blessed word of the Lord, God said it'll not return void, but it'll accomplish that which I please. All right, number three, that if you will please, in this lesson in verse 4, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see that? I'm saved by the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. And notice in verse 4, who gave himself for our sins. Did you see that? Now, there's about five times, not less than five, where it talks about the Lord gave himself. And let me tell you, this thing is totally dependent upon him. I mean, that's just it. Let me tell you right now is that he's not just somebody we keep in the closet and pull out when we need it in desperation. He is the very center of operation of the Church of the Living God. He's established a church. He's building the church. When God saves people, he puts them adds to the church daily, such as should be saved. I've got some kinfolks. You've got some kinfolks. They're in church. They're out of church, but they're more out than they are in. And it's because they've never been added by the Lord to the church of the living God. Do you realize, you know, that I don't know what I would do if I had to live in some of the towns some of these people live in. I just couldn't do it. I'd have to go ahead and just load up my burrow and pack everything on my pack mule and move to where I could hear the gospel being preached somewhere up and down the road of life. In the lesson that you're looking at, when you begin to see this, is that you'll find that when I got saved, that Bible said in Galatians 2 and about verse number 20, he says, you and I, that we've been saved by grace and we're living by faith of the Son of God that gave himself for you and I. I'm going to tell you, he didn't just want part of my life. He didn't want me to just sign a card for this Sunday and all of that right there. He wants me to realize and know it's by his grace, it's by his faith, it's by his life that I've been washed by the blood, born into the family of God. Then in Ephesians chapter number 5, he says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for. There it is again, you see. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you right now, is that we're not just running around and little dictators of a house. We're supposed to be a loving leader, kind and gracious and so forth and on. And let me tell you right now is that when you begin to look into this Bible, the example that we have is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loved the church, gave himself for the church. And let me tell you, he's coming back for it again one of these days. over there in the book of 1 Timothy, the Bible mentions again about the Lord giving himself. And 1 Timothy in chapter number 2, and it's in about verse number 6. And I'll read the passage for you there. The Bible says in verse 5, "For there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And who is he? Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Now I'm going to tell you, the sin debt's been paid for. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all. And you and I ought to exalt and magnify the blessed name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you realize and know that over in the book of Titus, now you can turn there, verse 11, chapter 2. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 11. Now, when you look into it, the Bible said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation," that's what we've been preaching about over in Galatians, is that God called us in by his grace. He said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." I got to say to you that when you and I got saved by the grace of God, it was because of the call of God by the power of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, back over in our text in verse number 4 in chapter 1 of Galatians, "He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world that we're living in." Now, I'm going to tell you, before the coming of the Lord, as evil as it is now, it's going to get worse. It's probably better now than it's going to be. But let me say to you that though evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, yet you'll find that our Lord's ever going to be the same until that finally he comes for us and snatches us as a brand from the burning out of this world. Now, let me say to you that the Bible picture of the world is like we said earlier in this message there. It's never anything that's big, majestic, that's new, that's beautiful, that's modern, that's wonderful. I'll tell you what the condition of it is. That Bible said there, it's a present, it's an evil world. There's a passage over in the book of Mark, chapter number 7, that I want you to look at, beginning with about verse number 20. But we talk about the present even world that we're in. We're talking about the condition of it, the world system. And man, what a godless, wicked bunch we've got that's been running this thing for a long time. In this Bible passage in chapter number 7, verse number 20, and he said, "That which cometh out of man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." I want to say to you that whenever I say to you that I'm glad that I'm saved and that God by his grace called me in and that he saved my soul and that he took up residence on the inside of me, when I say to you, I'm glad that he's done that because there's enough hell in me to start another one if God unleashed it. And those of you that are saved that know what I'm talking about would confess the same about yourself. Over there in the book of 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 15, "Love not the world," he said, "neither the things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away." Now, if you're wanting to have a good time and look at the world and live in the world and be occupied with the world, you're trusting something that's passing off and passing away. "And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." I'm glad to say to you that whenever we look into it, no wonder God tells us to love not the world. What a wicked place that it is. It's a present evil world is what he calls it. Then I want to say that last but not least, number four, that it's God that commanded the light. Now, there's a passage that we looked at in chapter number one of Galatians, and the Bible says that when you look into it, that it's God that called us in verse six, that called us into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He said, I marvel that you so removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, Jesus is not the best way to go to heaven. He's the only way to go to heaven. See? Somebody may want to come up and give you a bargaining chip one of these days. Well, you know, I'm not arguing it. Maybe there can be some other ways. There's only one way. They'll try to think with their mind and their logic that you got to make sure you've got the best way. There's only one way that leads to heaven. All the other ways lead to hell. Jesus is the onlyest way. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, the Bible says in verse number 6, and he talks about the gospel, and he talks about if it be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And in verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See, when you and I got born again, washed by the blood, it's because God commanded the light of the gospel to shine in the hearts of you and I. That's what he's talking about over there in the book of Galatians. This Bible said that when you look into it, that we're to come out from among the world and be separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, I want to say to you in closing that Jesus has made the statement over there in the book of John chapter number 12 and about verse number 32, and he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. He's talking about the cross. Now, I'm going to tell you, friend, if the preaching of the cross doesn't draw you to Christ, there's no other plan. See? There's no other plan. I mean, listen, you could get a couple of puppets, and there's a whole lot of puppets. You know, there's a whole, in the circus churches, there's a whole lot of clowns in the pulpit and a lot of puppets on hand. I want to tell you something. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. That's the cross. If I be lifted up from the earth. But if the cross doesn't draw you, nothing else will. Nothing else will. I want to say in closing that, if you will, that the Apostle Paul, when he writes to the churches that are in Galatia, in that region that's there, province that's there, he says, I marvel. That you have been so far removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. I marvel that you somehow or another just fizzled out. You know what I'm glad about this saying? God gives everlasting life. Not just a summer or two, a week or two, a few years, and this and that. I've had people that I knock on their door and talk to in days gone by, where you going to church? Well, I don't go anymore. Don't go anymore. Really? I say, yeah, well, I feel like I put my time in. How much time does that take? I'll tell you how much time it takes is till finally that you completely have lost whatever mind you've got, and yet the Lord still remembers you. I never did realize to know the impact of that song until my mother, who, as you well know, got to where that she knew Mickey Mouse real good. She didn't have a clue who I was. And let me tell you right now is that I can remember one of my sisters making a statement, no need me coming to see Mama because she don't even know who we are. I said, that's fine. And that's not the reason why that I'm glad I can see her. But it's not because that she don't know me. It's because that I know her. What are you going to do if the Lord does that? Even though I may not, or she may not be able to remember me, I'm glad the Lord still remembers me. And so I can tell you right now, is that God works in mysterious ways. There's no two ways about it. And some of them you're not going to like. Now, if you've been saved any length of time, God's going to bring something up you ain't going to like. But he's still God. I remember a couple of years ago running up and down in the halls and whatever 2019 and all that is over there at MD Anderson. I said, Lord, you promised how, somehow or another some things that I've just wanted to claim. And I'm hoping you'll help my wife over this deal. If you don't, the doctor's not going to be able to. And let me tell you right now is now, Lord willing, if something don't happen, that she and I gets killed between now and next Friday. See that? Not all the time does it turn out that way. Not every time. Not every time. There's some people I guarantee that have said goodbye to their loved ones that are a long way from having turned 70 years old. There's some people and that I'm glad. Mama used to, whenever sometime I'd be gone for a little while and I'd come in and I'd go back there to go to the bedroom and she said, that's the madam's room. I don't know what she, sometimes she thought I was her husband, I guess. Oh, that's the madam's room. We're just, whoever the madam is. Come find out it was, I finally figured out who the madam was. You know, whenever you're growing up like that, it's a long time before you can finally pinpoint, she don't have a clue who I am. See what I'm talking about? Now, I'm going to tell you, the average religious doesn't have a clue who Jesus Christ is. But if you ever come to know Him as your Lord and as your Savior, you may finally one day forget about Him, but He'll still remember you. Paul the Apostle said, I am marvel that you're so far removed from Him, so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm saved, and I'm glad to be able to say. I was thinking about, my little old wife turning 70. And I was thinking about we've been married 54 years this coming August. Do you realize that? No, she and I have been married most of our lives. That's something in it. I guess some of you the same way. You've been married. Probably, I've been married longer than I was unmarried. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to say that the marriage supper of the Lamb, that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we got born into the family of God, we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Until then, I hope you'll be found busily occupied about His business, that you be not ashamed at His appearing. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, I want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. For all you've done and all you're doing, and I pray that you'd help us to be able to exalt and magnify your name together. If there is one that's lost without God, though they be religious or not, may you show them themselves like you see them. And may you knock upon their heart's door. And may they have no peace till they find it.